It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are at Thorn in the Side, Thorona in the Side, Thursday. This is the Horn, headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. We're here Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time and 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time and all times in between and on either end and around the world, yea, verily, and forsooth. Hi, I'm Bob, and every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude because y'all are the ones that keep this conversation going. Y'all are the ones who have made this possible for lo these many years, and never not once have we bowed or scraped for some stinking advertising dollar to hustle chocolate chicken bone paleo beverage or any such similar bullshit. So thanks go out to our friend Philip in Maryland and to Stacy. And to our friends at Mellow Moonlit Meadow, thank you very, very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program. And thanks again for the Have a Week on Me that was provided earlier this week that has made it possible. James made that possible. Thank you, James, to not sweat this week. And, well, next we'll start on finishing the month of April for Friday on the Front Porch. But thank you, James. Thank you to our subscribers. If you would like to be a subscriber, and, you know, we've had some falling away as a result of the ongoing crisis, if you can do it without hurting yourself, run over to headon.live. The little box that you click that says make this recurring monthly whatever is there. Or you can click the Contribute tab, and the Patreon is there for you as well. And it really means a lot to me not to have to bow and scrape and try to talk you into buying things that you don't necessarily want or need. No, you know, super beats or any of that silly horse shit. No, we're just here trying to have a conversation. A conversation in good faith among people of goodwill, which means, of course, that Republicans, maggots, Trumpansies, libertarians, other purveyors of bilious horse shit are not welcome here, because we actually want to talk about things that matter and maybe even reach some notion of, I don't know, a solution here and there, if anybody is paying attention and, you know, listening or whatever. And it turns out I had a note from Jeremy after the program last night. I know we have listeners that we don't know we have. I know that sounds a little Rumsfeldian, but it's hard to avoid. There's a new segment over on The Daily Show Jeremy told me about. Guess what it's called? Now, when I tell you, ask yourself if you are a longtime participant in the community, how long has Bob been doing that little one-liner, that little bit? Because there's a new segment on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah called Little Ray of Sunshine. Yeah, I'm honored. Hi, Daily Show writing staff. Happy to help. Love your work. And I do. I saw a compendium of interviews that Jordan Klepper did with some maggots outside maggot rallies. And while it cost me probably several brain cells to get through it, Jesus, it's nice to see empirical evidence of precisely how unutterably stupid nitwit Nero's followers it really are. I mean, because they are. And it was hilarious. I mean, I couldn't stop laughing at some of them. Absolutely brilliant. I wouldn't even begin to know how to find it, but Jordan Klepper, maggots, or Trump supporters, whatever. If you go looking, you might find it. And it will be worth your effort if you do. But we're not going to fool with that right now. I guess we'll have a shit show this evening. The further meltdown adventures of Donnie in Dimwit Land as he looks for somebody else to throw under the bus in his ongoing attempt to divert any and all responsibility from himself. You know, if you don't want to take responsibility, why the hell do you try to, do you want to be president? Well, in his case, he did it because he thought he could make a buck at it. Because that's all that goes on inside his pathetic, sick, twisted remnants of a brain is, how can I make a dollar? How can I make a dollar? Gotta make a dollar. You know, he's the Larry, Darryl, and Daryl of American politics. You remember on the old Newhart show, or actually the newer Newhart show, the most recent Newhart show, which ended a long damn time ago. But do you remember Larry, Darryl, and Daryl, and what their business motto was? Anything for a buck. Turned out that was prescient. We wound up with a president like that too. And another entertainment or film reference. I've figured out another way of understanding him. Those of you who are familiar with Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the Gene Wilder version, might recall a character, one of the kids who got a golden ticket. Well, that fits. One of the kids who got a golden ticket was named Mike TV. And everything that Mike TV knew or contemplated or did or pondered centered on TV. Well, we have, in the White House, we have Mike TV all dysfunctionally grown up. Maybe take some time while we've got the time to do it and go watch it and see, because I checked out some clips. I'm not going to run them. But yeah, the similarities between Corona Caligula and Mike TV are, if not surprising, well, not shocking. Neither shocking nor surprising. Predictable? Yeah, that too. But it's sort of a wow. Because Mike TV is not a nice character. I'm not sure he's as bad as Veruca Salt. And then it turns out that Mike TV had kids, and one of them turned out to be Veruca Salt, you know, Princess Iwanka Medetti Trump Kushner. Yeah. But worth thinking about. Where to begin this evening? Well, a little bit of catch-up work. And by the way, the gang is all gathered together early on in the Horn chat room. If you've never augmented your live listening experience by popping into the chat room, you're missing a good time. And if you run over to headon.live and click on chat room and pick out a screen name and a password, and you, if you've never done that before, well, you're, Anatole and House of Roberts and Otto and Squeaky are all waiting for you. There will be more later, I trust. And, of course, capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, being a third-stage guild navigator, has this afternoon folded space in Northern California to become Man Cave. I'm actually smack dab in the middle of a plague. I'm in as good a mood as I have been in a while. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure that it won't last. Steve, I don't, I'm not a rerun. This program is live. This is the 23rd day of April, 2020. Steve in New York saying that the headon.live is running a rerun. We're streaming merrily along as far as I can tell. Things look pretty good. I haven't seen anybody else noting anything like that. Yeah, let me see here. Baltimore Bob says, okay, first of all, Jimmy says, hashtag the Donnie and Misery show. That works, that works. That's worth a little jingle to get us started. Balmer Bob says, hey, Bob, I understand you're using a bandana as a mask during this pandemic. And then there's a link that sells face shields for only $6 a piece, minimum order of 10. The shield plus a mask are a strong combination. It's barely, okay, Brother Deacon Asa tells me there was a blip at 5:11 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Never even saw it here. Not even a little bit. Some of the people who are so chicken shit that they can't go to Walmart without putting a gun on their hip to get a loaf of bread and some toilet paper and et cetera, it would probably go hog wild if they saw somebody with a face shield. Just, they'd go nuts. Because most of them aren't wearing masks anyway. And that's not just West Virginia, not just Appalachia. It extends to other places as well. Where was I? Oh, yeah, I'm in a good mood. Thank you, Randy and PA says the White Rose stream is live. And now Steve says all good at headon.live. Good, 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 good. I like not worrying about technical issues when we get the program going. It makes for such a much more enjoyable hosting experience. But I'm in a good mood. I had to go down into the settlements for provisions. And I walked into the Wiggling Pig. And it was like the folks, the owner and his son there, looked at me as though I was a long lost relative returned from the great beyond or something, because they were excited, they were happy too. And they hollered, "Hey, we got your sausage," which in some quarters could be interpreted in a prurient fashion, but in this case, I knew exactly what they meant. I can proudly announce that now, today, the 23rd of April, 2020, West Virginia has finally entered the family of states in which one can just go to the grocery store and purchase a package of Kaneka hickory smoked sausage. Yes, I don't mean to put off the vegetarians or the vegans or anything, but this makes me very happy. In fact, I immediately grabbed a couple of packages just to show my gratitude, and I got a couple of boxes of Zatarain's
jambalaya mix. There's no hope for you all, is there? I immediately got an email from Steve in New York. We got your sausage. Did they think you were John Bobbitt? You just can't let a guy be happy, can you? Everything's got to take this program down into the gutter, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, I'd actually be disappointed in you guys if you didn't. But no, you can get connect. And this has been a labor of considerable time. If you've been listening to the program for a while, you know, whenever I'd go down south, I'd load up and bring some back home, and then be out of it and not have any more for a year. Because for some reason or another, nobody thought the hillbillies would enjoy exquisitely spiced, exquisitely smoked, naturally cased smoked sausage. When in fact, this state will crawl over ground glass for something like that. This state thinks kielbasa is smoked sausage. Ugh. I mean, not that it's terrible or anything. But lo and behold, they had it. So I picked up a couple of packages and two boxes of Zatarain's jambalaya mix, which is, you know, good stuff as boxed mixes go. And immediately took it down and dropped it on the porch of my daughter and grandkids, being entirely socially distant, mind you, so that they could enjoy the wonders that is Kaneka. And the two guys there, the man and his son that run the place, were saying, "What do you do with this stuff, Bob?" And that just opened up a floodgate of what can't you do with Kaneka? My God, if the people at Kaneka could hear this ad, who knows? They might feel really grateful, but they certainly wouldn't pay for any advertising because we don't advertise. But it's fantastic. It's a taste treat. And off I went, telling how you can just grill it and put it on a hoagie roll with sautéed mushrooms and onions and green peppers, a little bit of cheese maybe, or you can simmer it in peppers, Italian peppers and sauce mix, and put that on a hoagie roll, or you can chop it up and scramble eggs around it, and this is a little bit more complicated, but God, isn't it good? You can take your Kaneka, before you ever put it in the skillet, chop it up nice and fine, and gently begin to fry it in a skillet, render the fat out of it, scoop away the Kaneka, sit it on a paper towel, and then using the drippings, you make a roux. And you stir the roux up until you get a nice golden brown roux where that lovely nutty flavor begins to emerge from the flour, the toasted flour. And then you add your milk. I like that Fairlife milk. It's so rich. You stir it. It'll thicken. You put the sausage back in. And you serve that over fettuccine or linguine or angel hair. And people will weep at the flavor party that takes place in their little mouth eaters. They will. So and then there's the grilling issue. Because there's two diameters. If you get the larger diameter and you split it open just like you would a hot dog, and you put the two insides flat on a griddle and use that for a sandwich. Oh, magic. Pure magic. Well, you know, it's nice to know that this has got some resonance, because I just got a note from Don in West Tennistan. Subject line, Kaneka. I got some in the fridge. Keep giving us some suggestions. Stop giving us suggestions for how to eat Kaneka, Bob. Actually, that happened a minute ago. Billable Rick said, stop telling us where to buy Kaneka sausage, Bob. But seriously, wait a minute. Almost all stop telling us is get a cowbell. But seriously, congrats on joining civilized society. The jambalaya sounds absolutely delicious. I'm eating stuffed bell peppers with sausage for lunch. Yum. Talk to you later. Billable Rick, stuffed bell peppers with the sausage made from Kaneka is for the ages. It's just a darn shame. Well, you can order it in. You can order it in, Billable. And life will change. You know this. You've had it. Tracy's had it. Oh, why do I even bother? That's for Hung Like Jesus, who says, stop telling us about your sausage, Bob. Yes, it is, because once in a while we just got to figure out a way to be happy. Brother Deacon Asa says, this is turning into food porn in the side Thursday. Hey, you're just jealous because you live up there in far Canoodlia, where they take care of, working people during pandemics, but you can't get Kaneka. I still think you've got I think you drew the long stick. We've got the short one down here. Stop talking about short sausages, Bob. You're making us feel inadequate. There, there. How do you like it? Flavio says, John Bobbitt reference. I just sprayed my monitor with the cocktail hour screwdriver. Is that, how is that spelled, Kaneka? Capital C-O-N-E-C-U-H. Kaneka. Kaneka is Portuguese for mug. I'll be damned. That's C-A-N-E-C-A. Well, I'm pretty sure that Kaneka, C-O-N-E-C-U-H, is either Creek or Chickasaw or Choctaw or Cherokee for River of Death. Or some such. Or Damn, This Is Good. Because there was, and he's the origin of the phrase to describe Kentucky. Back when the Cherokee, who did not have any right, title, or interest in the ownership of what became Kentucky and West Virginia, in Appalachia, they didn't slow the Cherokee down. They didn't much like the Shawnee and the Seneca peoples anyway, so they sold them down the river. Actually, what they did is they sold the British Kentucky, and you know, that part of Appalachia. And the guy who did the selling, if I understand the story correctly, was a fella named Oconestota. O-C-O-N-E-S-T-O-T-A. And the village that he called home, which was more of a city, really, on the banks of the Tennessee River, well, it was called Tennessaw, or Tensaw. It's underwater now. They made a lake over it, part of the TVA. But he looked at the people to whom he was deeding land that he did not own, because you know they didn't believe in land ownership. But he said, "You can." "You can have it, but you'll have a hard time holding it, for it is a dark and bloody ground." And one of the translations of Oconestota is groundhog sausage. Koneka Okona. One wonders if that means sausage. I have no idea. But as soon as the weather gets good, there's going to be some Koneka going on the grill. That's all there is to it. But I'm thinking about it now, and you know what? That pasta sauce has sounded pretty damn good too. Of course, you can do the same thing with ground up Koneka and a tomato based sauce. And that's equally delicious. You can grind it up and fry it and put it over fresh lettuce greens like spring greens, tender little dandelion greens, baby spinach. Wash it, and the hot grease will wilt the greens, and you put the meat over it and hit it with a little bit of maybe balsamic vinegar. The grease will stand in for the oil, and it's magnificent. A hot crab dip done with Kaneka and crab meat is pure decadence. Flavio says it's pretty hot and spicy. It's got a nice spice to it in the original recipe. the Cajun has a more Cajun flavor, and then there's a hot, which is my favorite, and it's got a nice burn, but it's not going to make your head sweat or anything. Silent R. Lamar says, "Note, stop, Bob, Bob, Bob. No, don't, Bob. Keep talking. What we need, Bob." Well, one way or the other, you're going to win on that count, Silent R. But I'm in a good mood. And they tell me it's not going to be any problem to get it in. But I said, you know, I told him, I'm so grateful to you guys. I'm so thankful. I said, because you're the only grocery store. You're the only grocery store in the entire state of West Virginia that carries this when it's available in almost every other state around here. And I said, you know, you got it because you wanted to have it, because I wanted to have it, and you cared enough about me to make the effort, and now you're going to make a whole lot more people happy when they discover it. You know, because I reached out to Kroger. Kroger didn't give a damn. I reached out to Wally World. Wally World carries it all over the Southeast. Wally World didn't give a fuck. Reached out to Food Lion. But this is a little local grocery store that's attached to the Piggly Wiggly brand. And they cared. And they got it done. And there's a tremendous value to that. I try to do as much of my shopping there as I possibly can, because I know that I'm keeping what I spend there in the community. That's my neighbors that work there. Those are my friends that own the place. And they've struggled to keep it up and running just so this little community on the wrong side of the river can have a place to shop for groceries. They got an awesome meat department. You want a ribeye 2 inches thick? They'll cut it for you. Just really friendly people who really, really strive to be an integral part of the community. Every Tuesday is beans and cornbread in the hot case. They make a mighty fine pan of cornbread. It's not sweet. God wanted cornbread to be sweet, he would have called it cake. That's what we say around here. Subject line, more Kaneka. This is from John in North Dakota. North Dakota. Dig that. John's been able to get it in North Dakota while I've been sitting here languishing in West Virginia. Which place is closer, do you think, to Evergreen, Alabama? John says, had some the other night. Cooked it in beer on the stove with diced onions and peppers and some fresh garlic and a pinch of Old Bay. Still have more in the freezer. Keep preaching on about this fine sausage. P.S. There is one here called Wishek Sausage. Have yet to try it. Made in a small town grocery store in Wishek, North Dakota. They send it all over the country. That'd be worth a try. And I've tried some of the Southern Louisiana styles. Can't hold a candle to Kaneka. Now, for like a breakfast sausage or something, the folks up here at the Wiggling Pig, they grind their own, and it's magic. It's almost like hamburger because there's very little fat to it. So when you do a sausage patty for like sausage and biscuits, it's not going to shrink down to nothing. It's fantastic. But like I said, good mood. I'm in a good mood. Billable Rick says, cowbell for Lamar's wordplay. Stop. No. Go. No. Please. Don't stop. Yeah. Okay. That may be Silent R's first cowbell. I'm not sure. Thank you, Jeremy in Vermont, for getting us started and keeping us going. Thank you very kindly. Much obliged. And what's that? Got a note here from Todd in South Carolina, Stan. What about the pig grilling while sitting on the label? Yeah, the whole thing's magic. The imaging, the marketing, yeah. And they got all, and I missed out last holiday season, and I was actually down south in Alabama. They came out with a holiday limited edition, And I wanted to try that so badly, but I couldn't find it anywhere, even there in Northwest Alabama. Darn the luck. They got a cracked black pepper version that's magic. And you can order all of this stuff online. And there's a story out today that we're probably about to have a pork shortage. So if you've got a hankering, I'd do it now. Pork shortage. Well, there went my good mood. Yeah, we'll find our way back. But no, seriously, and you got to figure this kind of stuff's going to happen as we go forward with all of this, because these are hard times and going to get harder, and it's going to be made worse by idiots like Brian Kemp and white supremacist adjacent illegitimate Florida Governor Ron Monkey Up DeSantis, who can't even put on a mask right. Harvard! But I saw the story about the pork earlier today. And that's... there may be shortages of a lot of things, not just toilet paper and pork. And I've got to be careful, because otherwise my good mood while hanging by a thread probably will just give up and run away. Because there's a bunch of stuff here to make you eat dirt and run rabbits, but any day is like that. Let's see if that turns up the story. Ah, there it is. Yep. I suppose this has to do with the supply chain. Because the supply chain's a hot mess right now. Tyson Foods has temporarily shut down its largest pork plant. Dennis Smith, who's a senior account executive at Archer Financial Services, says meat shortages will be occurring 2 weeks from now in the retail outlets. There's simply no spot pork available. The big box stores will get their needs met. Many others will not. At present, about 15% of the hog slaughtering capacity of the country is offline. And there are slowdowns in beef and poultry, too. And just as the oil futures fell, so too have hog futures fallen. And hog farmers may wind up just killing their hogs and burying them because they can't get as much money out of them as they want. February to March saw a 4.2% drop in frozen pork inventories. And that was even before the slaughterhouse shutdown started, because they're run in such a brutal, hateful fashion that there's no, that under their Harvard School of Business Management model, they can't manage to slaughter pork without having people piled on top of each other doing it, so that when a pandemic strikes, they can't avoid getting all of their workers sick. On the other hand, pork belly futures have doubled over the course of the last 4 days, but the prices of hogs have gone the other direction, through the floor. Now, if you are a meat packer, that means you've seen a 340% profit margin increase since April 1st. Because the hogs are cheap, but the finished product is more valuable because of the reduction in capacity of the meat processing plants. We're going to learn a lot of stuff. A lot of things that maybe we had rather hoped never to have to learn in the course of what's coming at us. Yeah, there's another one. Tyson closes Logansport pork processing plant in response to rising COVID-19 cases. That via David in South Carolina, Stan. That's Logansport, Talibandiana. Well, I guess there's a certain amount of gather ye rosebuds while ye may. God. So I thought, what's that billable, Rick? Meat shortages in Gaia. Like Jude from the Northwest, we may need to rethink our meat-eating habits. Is the spread of the Rona to meat slaughter and packaging plants a sign that we must change our ways? Also, the agri-animal industry is one of the most environmentally unsound businesses and leaves a huge carbon footprint. Just saying, says Billable Rick. And there's no argument to be had over that. We're not living on this planet the way we're supposed to. So when I sit here and wax rhapsodic about the beauty of a package of sausage, don't think for a minute that I think that's sustainable. It isn't. I just happen to come from a culture where in generations previous, every year you raise two or three hogs. They're nice animals, kinda smart. And then come cold weather, it's hog killing time. And you can it, and you put it in jars, and you cook it, you put it in jars, you water bath or pressure can it, so that you've got meat through the hard months of the winter. Steve in New York says, something doesn't make sense. Pork price futures are going up, but the supply is down. That doesn't make sense. It's not that supply is down, Steve. It is price is down. The hogs are still being farmed, but the prices are falling through the floor. Steve says, if supply goes down but demand doesn't change, the future price should go up. This tells me that the markets think the decrease in demand for pork will be greater than the decrease in supply. Well, the news story that I was looking at indicated that hog farmers may just kill their hogs and bury them in trenches because they can't sell them for what they want to sell them for. Because any kind of farming is a razor-thin margin, right next to catastrophe season after season after season kind of industry. And remember, we're not talking about mom and pop, you know, raising 15 or 20 hogs. We're once again talking about massive corporate confined animal feed operations. Just like cattle. And God knows, just like the horror that is chicken farming. Rusty says, 2 weeks ago, we noticed the meat substitute bin has been empty. Well, that's, that's production intensive. You can't just pull a head of cabbage out of the ground and convince people that it tastes like a Whopper. I mean, the amount of genetically modified stuff in the the unbelievable Whopper or whatever? There's a lot of manipulation that goes on there. Hey, maybe during our downtime, some of us might want to watch Soylent Green again, and that amazed look on Edward G. Robinson's face when he sees a piece of meat that his buddy Thorne, played by Charlton Heston, has brought home for him. Edward G. Robinson's character was the world's greatest librarian, I guess. Okay, the impossible, yeah, thank you, Randy, the impossible Whopper. Unbelievable.
It's the incredible Whopper.
Jeremy in Vermont says pork and other meats. Even with this pandemic, it's always somewhat amazing to me that we don't have more mass poisoning from our meat supply due to the insane way we do meat processing here normally. There was a massive educational effort undertaken to teach people to cook their meat until everything in it is dead, like the meat itself. You know, cook to 160, cook to 180. Maybe, says Steve in New York, the cannabis will save us. Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, they land on Earth with that cookbook. See, I ruined the joke already. Or I ruined the snapper of it. The original story was written by a genius 50s sci-fi writer named C.M. Cornbluth. And then it got turned into a Twilight Zone episode. If you've never read C.M. Cornbluth, he is well worth the effort. Randy and PA's DJing a little bit along the way. Unforgettable in every way. Man, taking that lovely ballad and using it to refer to a genetically modified meatless burger. Yeah, I'd steer clear of the ghost of Nat King Cole if I were you, Randy. Unforgettable. Now, here's a beautiful piece of irony. Also correcting me was Lee in New York. Impossible Whopper is the subject line, but when I see it, the way it shows up, you know, that one line you get that gives you, like, the first line of the email. Well, there was no body to Lee's email. It just said Impossible Whopper. But the little grayed out part that I'm looking at says, virus free. Oh, the goddess of irony. What a goddess she is. Albert in Rhode Island says, Bob, I know how you feel about that sausage. I dearly miss Chapel Hill pecan smoked sausage. I've not tried to get it from Wally World. According to their website, they can get it for me. Never had that. Jimmy says, Kaneka, land of cane. Originally from Alabama. It's only from Alabama. I think there's only one plant. And when you're driving down that way, down I-65, you smell it about 10 miles before you get to it, and it's not a bad smell. It's a wonderful, wonderful hickory smell. Speaking of Soylent Green, Ron in Raleigh says, did you know that Soylent Green was Edward G. Robinson's last motion picture role? Yes, I did. And the last scene in which he appeared in a motion picture was his deathbed scene, where he's seeing... You know, I guess they've euthanized him, and as the drugs kick in, he's seeing these wide-angle shots of bubbling mountain streams and blooming flowers and little deer cavorting in the field. You know, all things that don't exist in that world anymore. Yeah, there's the punchline, Steve from New York. I already ruined it, but still, to serve man is a wonderful, wonderful episode of Twilight Zone. Mormons won't Mormons won't like that reference. After all, when they die, they get their own planet to themselves, so there can't be aliens. No, that's the monsters are due on Maple Street, and they've got an endowment twice the size of Harvard's. That's that episode. I had such plans for this program. And we'll get there. We'll get there. Pork shortage. Lee in New York says, I get it. Republicans are putting it in the COVID legislation. Well, yeah, kind of. And that takes us rather handily to one of the more potent pieces of audio I've heard in recent memory. Now, there's no need to email me and tell me about how insufficiently ideologically pure Andrew Cuomo is. I know. He's a, let's see, goddamn neoliberal establishment shill. And I'm sure he's practically a Republican and all of that stuff. But I'll bet you if you're a sane person who lives in Florida or a sane person who lives in Georgia or Tennessee, you would give your eye teeth to have Andrew Cuomo be your governor instead of Bill Lee or Brian Kemp or Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis. And let's not leave out McGovernor there in South Carolina, Stan. I'm not sure if it was a mock front page or if maybe somebody actually published it. But I saw something earlier today just breezing past. And it said, what? Human sacrifice to begin in Georgia on Friday. Yep, go and get your hair did and your nails did and get yourself a tattoo and then go bowling. And then come Monday, go to a restaurant and a movie theater. And by then, you've probably spread the disease to God knows who. Hey, thank you to Reggie re-upping his subscription. Thank you, Reggie. Thank you very, very kindly. Much appreciated. Erwin says, I checked out the Kaneka sausage website. The jambalaya recipe looks good. I may have to order some. Well, if there's going to be a pork shortage, I'd do it now. Because you can freeze it, too, and it'll keep real well because it's smoked. Which means, you know, the reason for smoking things was to preserve food in the first place. And then we just figured out that, well, damn, that tastes real good, too. What's that, the audio clip? Stop telling us we don't have to email you about the audio clip. This is getting out of hand. Stop telling us it's getting out of hand, Bob. At least we've got our sense of humor, right? But what I was saying is I know that Andrew Cuomo is not nearly progressive enough to suit us. He did sign a fracking ban in New York. So there's that. But at his news conference today, he unburdened himself of his true feelings about, if not the, because I think that position is already occupied for the next good while, or hopefully not good while, a few months at least. But he unburdened himself of his true feelings about one of the most odious, loathsome, awful, terrible, bad, no good, horrible, disgusting, revolting human beings alive in the United States today. And having already given away that it's not Trump, I bet you know who it is. Well, let's check it out.
friends in Washington, Senator McConnell, who is the head of the Senate.
You knew, didn't you?
You know, we've been talking about funding for state and local governments, and it was not in the bill that the House is going to pass today. They said, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, the next bill. As soon as the Senate passed it, this current bill, Senator Mitch McConnell goes out and he says, maybe the states should declare bankruptcy. Okay? This is one of the really dumb ideas of all time. And
it is a dumb idea. But, well, Governor Cuomo's being a little bit generous there because it's not just dumb. It's vicious. It's hateful. It's wicked. It's nasty. It's bloodthirsty. It's all of the things that Addison Mitch McConnell, the most revolting thing ever to come out of Sheffield, Alabama, is.
You know, I said to my colleagues in Washington, I would have insisted that state and local funding was in this current bill. Because I don't believe they want to fund state and local governments. And not to fund state and local governments is incredibly short-sighted. They want to fund small business, fund the airlines. I understand that. But state and local government funds police and fire and teachers and schools.
And, you know, police and fire and teachers and schools are more important than, say, golf courses. Because never to be deterred, there's no way the Trumps could be deterred. They're all turd. You can't take any away from them. But not taking no for an answer, since they've been supposedly locked out of getting webbing their beaks with the monies appropriated by the Congress here in the United States. They've gone hat in hand to the government of the UK. Because, see, the Trump Organization, I mean, look, golf courses are razor's edge propositions in the first place. There's more to running a golf course than meets the eye. There's a shitload of grass mowing. And they don't have robot lawnmowers yet. So you got to pay somebody to mow the grass, and because it's a golf course, you got to mow the grass the right way. You can't just go out and do donuts in the middle of the fairway. Because golf is one of those games that where the tiniest thing can impact your performance, including the length to which the grass is cut. You know, there's the fairway, and then there's the first cut of rough, and the second cut of rough. And back when I played the game, I played mostly in the weeds. Because it was a hell of a lot more fun over there. All that nicely mown grass, I just felt bad about chewing it up with my golf club. But so that's the kind of business genius that Donald J. Trump, the J stands for Mashy Niblick. That's the kind of genius he is. He buys casinos and bankrupts them, and then he buys golf courses, which are terrible investments. Witness the fact that he was so desperate to put bodies in rooms at his vermin-infested place at Doral that he tried to get the G8 or G7 or G19 Omaha Hut to grift him into a little bit of help by hosting the there. Well, he's got three golf courses in Scotland and Ireland. You might recall that he forced the Vice President of the United States, Mike Pencilneck Geek, to use the funds of the United States government to stay at his disgusting pile of bricks in Ireland, when there were far more efficient places for the vice president to stay. But Mike Pence with the Trump's tiny little testicles resting on his chin said, "No, I really want you to stay there." So now they're putting now the welfare queen family of America, the Trumps, are sticking their hand out to the government of the UK because they want some they want some economic relief, even though they were hemorrhaging money like mad, even before anyone knew that the coronavirus was a thing. But that's who the Trump family are. They're squatters, grifters, hustlers, cheaters, cretins. And they, by God, want some of that money. Okay, they want a lot of that money. But folks in the UK are not particularly tickled with the idea of giving it to them. When word got out that they were looking for a handout, these borough billies from Jamaica, Queens, these jumped up Manhattanites, there's a horrible person by the name of Sarah Malone. She's the executive vice president of the Trump Resort in Aberdeenshire, Scotland, and she said, "Like millions of businesses around the globe, we've been forced by government mandate to temporarily close our hospitality and leisure facilities." And so they want money, even though the place was going broke before the first person ever got sick in Wuhan. Local councillor Martin Ford said, "If what he says about his personal wealth is true, Trump doesn't need the money, and I don't see why the UK taxpayers of the future should be helping him out." Nor do I, Martin, nor do I. Because the losses at these Trump properties, it's not measured in weeks or months. The losses are measured in years. Because the Trumps are a bunch of what? Losers. Oh wait, robot lawnmowers, you say? Well, I guess they do exist. Thank you, Ron, serving as the ad hoc horn research department. And as Sparky says the same, Husqvarna automower, robotic lawnmower. Is it one of those great big gang mowers that you use to mow like acres and acres and acres? And the shit show has begun, Sparky tells me. And as Brother Deacon Asa reminds us, a new study estimates that roughly 2.7 million people have had COVID-19 in New York City alone. 2.7 million. That's a sizable percentage of the overall population of New York City. And that's one of the new right-wing talking points. You know why the numbers look so big? The numbers look so big because Fauci and the CDC, if you get run over by a truck or a bus, they write it down as a COVID death. They're deliberately inflating the COVID death so they can take away our freedom. It's in the Constitution. We want to work.
Meow.
What's that, Joey? No more pork? More Gallardo will have a beef with those hog farmers. Because Joey accused me of having a broken cowbell the other night. True. The G8, Steve in New York tells me, you're forgetting about G1 through 7, Bob. I mean, it's the G8 for a reason. Because... God, why'd you have to remind me of Kellyanne Conway? That's a, that Steve. That's a negative cowbell. But back to Governor Cuomo.
Friends in Washington, Senator McConnell, who is... They want to fund small business, fund the airlines. I understand that. But state and local government funds police and fire and teachers and schools. How do you not fund police and fire and teachers and schools in the midst of this crisis? Yes, airlines are important. Yes, small business is important. So are police and fire and healthcare workers, who are the frontline workers. And when you don't fund the state, then the state can't fund those services. Makes no sense to me. Also makes no sense that the entire nation is dependent on...
Uh-oh. There's the Chewbacca defense. Don't make no sense!
On what the governors do to reopen. We've established that. It's up to this governor, it's up to this governor, it's up to this governor. But then you're not going to fund the state government? What, do you think I'm going to do it alone? How do you think this is going to work? And then to suggest we're concerned about the economy. States should declare bankruptcy? That's how you're going to bring this national economy back? By states declaring bankruptcy? You want to see that market fall through the cellar? Let New York State declare bankruptcy. Let Michigan declare bankruptcy. Let Illinois declare bankruptcy. Let California declare bankruptcy. You will see a collapse of this national economy. So just dumb. Vicious is saying when Senator McConnell said this is a blue state bailout. What he's saying is if you look at the states that have coronavirus problems, they tend to be Democratic states. New York, California, Michigan, Illinois, they are Democratic states. So if you fund states that are suffering from the coronavirus, they're Democratic states. Don't help New York State because it is a Democratic state. How ugly a thought.
Yeah, it is. It's an ugly thought. But and maybe this is because Andrew Cuomo, quintessential New Yorker, New York family, doesn't walk around with a cloud of history all around him all the time. I'm not saying he doesn't, but maybe he doesn't. And maybe he doesn't understand that while that idea from Chinless Mitch is ugly, as he says it, it's also very Confederate. Because going back to the Confederate Constitution, all the states were on their own. The central Confederate government was going to be virtually powerless. And that's the way they like it. Not funding schools, Governor Cuomo? That's because Republicans, and particularly Southern Republicans, despise public schools. They loathe them. They hate them. And I'm not engaging in hyperbole there. Betsy DeVos has quietly gone about the business of shuttling money to nasty ass charter school corporations. And she's pitched the idea of micro grants to individual families that they would then give to the charter schools so as to finally kill off the public schools once and for all, because that is a fetish object of the goddamned Republican Party, which is, for the most part, run by a bunch of goddamn Confederates. Now, I'm not suggesting that Governor Cuomo doesn't know how awful Republicans are, because he very obviously does, because he described Mitch McConnell as vicious. So, I mean, he is, but he was just getting started.
I mean, just think of Just think of what he's saying. People died. 15,000 people died in New York. But they were predominantly Democrats. So why should we help them? I mean, for crying out loud, if there was ever a time you're going to put aside, for you to put aside your pettiness and your partisanship and this political lens that you see the world through, Democrat and Republican, and we help Republicans, but we don't help Democrats. That's not who we are. It's just not who we are as a people.
Now, hold on. I don't care who says it. When that gets said, it gets my hackles up. And you know, at 57, getting my hackles up isn't as easy as it used to be. Governor, it is who we are. It absolutely is who we are. And I can prove that with a statement from a governmental official, not in Alabama or Kentucky or Georgia or Tennessee, but a city alderman from Olean, New York, O-L-E-A-N. Olean, New York. A maggot Republican by the name of Kevin Daugherty, or perhaps Daugherty. Around here we'd say Daugherty. He went to Twitter and Facebook to piss and moan about the fact that a local business would not serve him because he would not wear a mask. Now, I don't blame them, because as I've tried to explain on a number of occasions, a mask will not protect you. It will, however, prevent you. It will cut the amount of viral shedding you can do through your nose and your mouth into the air and toward other people. And so if everybody wears a mask, then we, by default, reduce the amount of viral particles that are going into the air, whether it's by 20%, 50%, 80%, whatever percentage, it matters and it's worth it, because it's not like wearing a mask is the same as wearing a yellow Star of David pinned to your jacket. A mask does not impose stigma or expose you for harassment or violence. All that a mask means is that you have respect for the people of your community around you. Whatever you can do, whether it's a mass-produced, scientifically produced mask, or whether it's just a bandana that you folded in such a way that you've got four layers of cloth between your nose and mouth and the outside world. It means that you respect people that you don't know, people that you've never met, but people who happen to share the same space with in your community. It is a statement of community spirit. But not for Kevin Daugherty, alderman of Olean, New York, maggot, Republican. He walked into the parking shop and they said, "You're not wearing a mask, you'll have to leave." And this, of course, incensed Republican maggot Kevin Daugherty.
city alderman of Olean, New York. And so he went to cry about it on Twitter and Facebook and said, "Gal behind the counter asked me to leave if I did not wear a mask. I explained to her to tell the Mahars," they must be the people who own the parking shop, "they lost my business for life." And then he hashtagged it. Hashtag it, F you, I ain't wearing a mask. And hashtag, give me liberty or give me COVID. I'm hard-pressed to respond to that in anything but one way, and that is by recourse to Professor Spicoli.
You dick!
Yeah. And he was proud of himself. I mean, he was taking it to the man! But when he started pissing and moaning, it didn't go well. Common Council President Paul Gonzalez said that the remarks made by Daugherty on social media, quote, are unworthy of the office he holds. While I recognize and respect everyone's First Amendment rights, I believe elected officials should be held to a higher standard, especially during this unprecedented crisis. It is disappointing that he chose to publicly shame a local business who was clearly applying the governor's directive to keep our residents safe during this epidemic. But see, keeping residents safe during the pandemic doesn't matter to Republican maggot Daugherty. The only thing that matters to Daugherty is Daugherty, because the heart and soul of republicanism is brutal, vicious selfishness, as exemplified recently by none other than the majority leader of the Senate of the United States, chinless Mitch McConnell. Among other things, Common Council President Gonzalez has said that he is not going to rule out whatever disciplinary action may be available for use against Daugherty. Once his post got out into the wild, though, it didn't go well for Kev. One individual telling him, "Enjoy your intubation and delirium, if you make it that far, dingus." Dingus, of course, being a euphemism for, you know.
You dick!
Yeah. But they're all over the place. And they think that somehow or another, they're Rosa fucking Parks. Because he's standing up, but I ain't got to wear no mask. It's in the Constitution, right there. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Yeah. I guess, as Jimmy intimates from the Great Northwest, we've seen the signs. No shirt, no shoes, no service. Doesn't say nothing about no pants. It is legal to add no mask to that list. As Jimmy notes, no shirt, no shoes, no mask, No service. But old Kev, he's just waiting for him to come and carry him away in the middle of the night and send him off to the send him off to the Nancy Pelosi re-education camps. Feed 'em, Wolverines! So when Andrew Cuomo, Governor Andrew Cuomo, says that's not who we are, I think he probably thinks that's what he's supposed to say as a leader. But the reality is, it by God is who we are. There is not a majority. I mean, the statistical evidence of people who support continuing the shutdown is up around 70-80%, and that's even among Republicans. Who, just as much as normal people, apparently don't want to die of the Rona. Now, that would have been brilliant. Yeah, maybe you could drop a line to him. Find out where Olean, New York is, Steve. And find him and see if they're on social media somewhere and send him a message. Because Steve says they should have just said their religious beliefs. I'm sorry. Let's use the Supreme Court language. Let's use the Hobby Lobby language. They're closely held. Their sincerely held religious beliefs require people to wear masks. That's brilliant, Steve. Not particularly funny, but we do occasionally do cowbells for brilliance as well. But you know, among the maggots, it is who we are. And saying it isn't doesn't solve anything. We have to get to the heart of the problem. And the heart of the problem in this country is the maggots. The unrest and the running skirmishes, for instance, in the suburbs, northern suburbs of Paris, that's not a bunch of maggots. That's a bunch of people who have been marginalized for a generation and treated like shit by the police. And they're not taking well to the shutdown. You can't say, because anytime you see one of these sacrifice the weaklings maggots on video, very seldom are they, shall we say, emaciated. In fact, the guy that was screaming Nazi at the cop in Raleigh, North Carolina, looked like he hadn't missed a meal since he got off his mother's tit. And he'd probably picked up a few extras along the way. Lots of pictures like that. Lots of pictures. But back to Governor Cuomo.
I mean, if there's ever a time for humanity and decency, now is the time. And if there was ever a time to stop your political, obsessive political bias and anger, which is what it's morphed into, just a political anger, now is the time. And you want to politically divide this nation now with all that's going on? How irresponsible and how reckless. I'm the governor of all New Yorkers, Democrat, Republican, Independent. I don't even care what your political party is. I represent you. And we are all there to support each other. This is not the time or the place or the situation to start your divisive politics.
Lovely sentiment.
And that's why... Look, our rule has been very simple from day one. There is no red and blue. There should have never been a red and blue when it comes to any important issue, but certainly not now. And that's not what this country is all about. It's not red and blue. It's red, white, and blue. And when we talk about New York tough, we're all New York tough, Democrats and Republicans. And we're all smart, and we're all disciplined, and we're all unified, and we're all in this together. And we understand that, and that's how we operate. And we operate with love, and we're strong enough to say love. To say love is not a weakness, it is a strength. And New Yorkers are that strong. Questions?
Governor, we're seeing over 1,100 correction staffers and inmates who tested positive for COVID. What more can the state...
What we have here is, he says, questions. And so there's a reporter ready to jump in. He has just poured his heart out about the revolting viciousness of Republican Confederate politics. And reporter lady there wants to ask a question about prisons. Okay, that's fine. But I got a feeling, that's not a feeling, I've seen the clip before. While he answers the question as best he can, and his executive branch officials answer the question as best they can, he's not done with this. Hung like Jesus says, Mitch, don't give a good goddamn. He's sitting deaf and blind, sugar mama, and she'd have to be with that fuck. Yeah, that'll, just contemplating that is enough to ruin dinner in all four major U.S. time zones. Indeed. So let's hear her ask her question about the prisons.
Due to release people detained on parole violations more quickly? And what about releasing elderly and medically vulnerable people and making sure that inmates are getting hand sanitizer?
And
is there any way to get the National Guard to clean jails?
So as of today, there's 263 prisoners who have tested positive for COVID. And then from that, we are quarantining people. There's 1,397 people in the prison system which have been quarantined. We actually have not seen the kind of outbreaks that we feared that we would see. We're monitoring it very closely. We've done a number of things, including stopping visitation and doing isolation above and beyond, but within humanity, making sure that you're not putting people in solitary confinement. So we're monitoring this very closely. We're getting briefed on it every morning. We've already taken a number of steps, the technical parole violations, the people over 55 with the 90 days. And as the situation evolves and warrants changes, we'll change.
Excuse me one second. Let me just go back to my self-proclaimed Grim Reaper, Senator McConnell, for another second. He represents the state of Kentucky, okay? When it comes to fairness...
Now what this is a master class in what is referred to in the common... current parlance as bringing the receipts. He was hoping he'd get a question about McConnell, but he got a question about prisons instead. So he's going to loop back around to it. And he's not only going to drive his point home, he's going to countersink them.
New York State puts much more money into the federal pot than it takes out, okay? At the end of the year, we put in to that federal pot $116 billion more than we take out, okay? His state, the state of Kentucky, takes out $148 billion more than they put in. Okay, so he's a federal legislator.
So in other words, the Commonwealth of Kentucky, Stan, is Bishop Willard Romney used back in 2012? Yeah, the Commonwealth of Kentucky, small government
Republicans,
the Commonwealth of Kentucky are... takers. just like the state of Tennessee, takers. State of Alabama, takers. State of Mississippi, stand, takers. State of Georgia, takers. State of South Carolina, takers. State of North Carolina, takers. State of West Virginia, takers. There is not a single state in the fucking Confederacy, and West Virginia was not in the Confederacy, I'll remind you. There is not a single state in the Confederacy that could financially survive on its own. Not one. And Andrew Cuomo is going to make sure that everybody knows it. If you're New York, if you're California, Washington, Oregon, not so sure about Oregon, but I'm pretty sure about Washington, California, New York, you are net givers. You are the well from which the other states draw up their water. And see, this infuriates the South. Because the South has been furious since the very beginning. People without the long view of history don't understand that what we're living through right now, although different because of the pandemic, the debate is essentially the same as the debates in 1820, 1830, 1840, and the 1850s. The South wants to rule the rest of the country, and particularly the North, through threats and intimidation. And the North has got to learn to fight the hell back. And to a certain extent, that's what you've got in what Governor Cuomo here is saying. And we need a lot more, we need a lot more talk like it. We need to get a little more blunt about it. Mitch McConnell is a welfare queen. He may be richer than God because he married him some Chinese shipping money. But he is a welfare queen. He's been reaching for a handout ever since he was goddamn born. Some people are just spiritually malevolent, and Addison McConnell is one of them. Imagine being so spiritually dead that you could, as a child, suffer from polio and have your ass saved by charity. By a charity that was spearheaded by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who knew himself the horrors of polio. Imagine being little Addison McConnell of Sheffield, Alabama, and being transported to the healing waters of Warm Springs, Georgia, where FDR himself, the man who saved an entire nation from starving to fucking death. Imagine being transported on charity to Warm Springs, Georgia, nursed back to health, sent along your merry way, and then spending the rest of your miserable goddamned life shitting on other people while holding your own hand out.
Marry me, Lane.
How dead all the way down to the lowest, most subcellular levels of your being must you be to be Mitch McConnell? It is said that first, that Austrian First World War veteran, when he was trying to be a painter, was saved from starvation because he had Jewish patrons who would purchase his works. And for that, because he was another one of those people just born with a malevolent spirit, for that, he hated them with every iota of his being. And eventually, he got to kill 6 million as a means of working out his sick psychopathy. How much difference is there between that and the way that Mitch McConnell works? As far as I can tell, not bloody much. What a horrible nightmare of a human being. Trey says, Kentucky Stan are takers. Kentucky Stan is a welfare state. Mitch was the king of pork. Christ on a fucking crutch. I remember he took him some Russian oligarch money to try to build an aluminum smelter in one of the more bedraggled corners of the bluegrass state. We've got to learn to talk about these monsters like the monsters that they are. Yeah, back to Governor Cuomo.
He's distributing the federal pot of money. New York puts in more money to the federal pot than it takes out. His state takes out more than it puts in. Senator McConnell, who's getting bailed out here? It's your state that is living on the money that we generate. Your state is getting bailed out, not my state.
I have a follow-up question about the National Guard. I didn't get an answer on that. I was wondering.
God, she wasn't going to. That reporter lady just didn't give a fuck, did she? But then again, editors shape reporter questions. So she was probably just doing what she was told to do. I know a quick and easy way to help Addison McConnell learn. Send an in-person delegation of New Yorkers to wherever he is, whenever he is. No social distancing. get right up and explain to the welfare queen that we all know what a welfare queen he is. Make him own it. You remember the one time that some people questioned him and he was such a chicken shit that Elaine ran to his defense and said, "Leave my husband alone!" while he scampered into the back seat of his fucking limo. I despise him. There is no redeeming human quality about Mitch McConnell whatsoever. And especially this election year, knowing what we know, I will say the same thing for anyone who would cast their vote for him. Anyone. Because vicious politicians are only able to be vicious politicians because there is a vicious electorate that keeps them in office. I don't know of any other way to escape that analysis. Well, thank you, Lady B, I think. Subject line, hot fire. Bob, the Holy Spirit's taken over you. You're spitting hot fire. If you start eating honey and locusts while wandering in the desert, Agnes may have to call the men in the white coats. Or you could start a ministry. You'll make fucking millions. Hot fire, Bob. Hot fire. Yeah, but see, I don't have the appeal to magic, Lady B. I can't tell people that if they don't do what I'm telling them to do, they're going to burn forever in a lake of fire prepared for them by the knows-all, sees-all God who will burn them forever in a lake of fire because he loves them so much. Apparently, President Trump for brains got questioned about Mitch's idea of telling the states to go bankrupt. His reply,
"I don't want to talk about it right now."
Oh, you don't want to talk about it ever. And by the way, I don't know if anybody's told him, but Chinless Mitch laughs at Nitwit Nero. He chuckles, he chortles. He thinks he's a rube and a fool. Another dumbass Yankee who can be steered to do his bidding. I mentioned the 1830s, the 1840s, and the 1850s. Same there, too. Back then, you had mostly Democrats and Whigs. And in both cases, there were Southern Democrats and Southern Whigs and Northern Democrats and Northern Whigs. And while the Democrats and Whigs went at each other from time to time, the one thing both parties had in common is that they had servile Northern Democrats and servile Northern Whigs who would do their bidding, who, out of party loyalty, would not raise a voice against even the most radical of the Southerners. In large part, that is precisely how we got to 1861. And here, it's how we're getting into the same fix in 2021. 160 years later. Thereabouts. I feel like there's a flaw in my ciphering. I know you don't like to listen to the shit show, But some of this stuff I really kind of hate to miss live. Dear God, Sparky's been taking one for the team and sending me notes along the way. This clown in the White House, this toxic clown, this President Pennywise, has suggested that his maladministration are trying to figure out how to put ultraviolet light inside people's bodies to, in his words, shorten the life of the Rona?
What, Edith, huh? I don't know if it's ultraviolet or just very powerful light.
Which is kind of interesting, because there was a news story out recently that I hadn't gotten to. You know how some attorneys general and so forth came down on people like Jim Baker and
Alex Jones?
Jim Baker for his colloidal silver miracle COVID cure.
And Alex Jones
for his entire product line of colloidal silver COVID curing things, like Alex Jones's paleo chicken bone colloidal silver COVID cure fucking toothpaste. Well, there's more, because I guess some religious nut jobs. No, it's not prayer meeting Wednesday, but still, have also been shut down. They were hustling and we've talked about this before. You remember the assholes who said that autism could be cured by pouring bleach up the rectums of children? They're back. Yeah. A governmental agency shut down the Genesis 2 church, I think it was called. I'm looking for the story here. For hustling a COVID bleach cure. I wish I was making it up. I'm looking now. I'd prefer to give you the particulars on it if it'll pop. There it is. Genesis 2 Church Health and Healing. The story came from Agence France-Presse. For once, the United States Department of Justice did something intelligent. This is in the last week. A group in, where else, Florida, was hustling a miracle coronavirus cure. Genesis 2 Church of Health and Healing were selling Miracle Mineral Solution. We've heard of Miracle Mineral Solution before, because that's what they were telling people to enemize up the posteriors of autistic children to cure autism. The DOJ said,
MMS is a chemical product which, when combined with the included activator, creates a powerful bleach product. Here's the funny thing, though. Governmental agencies issued a final warning on April 8th, but they still have refused to stop selling their bleach cure. They do it mainly on their websites. What's their reason? Well, when this gets back to Attorney General Bill Pepe the Frog Barr, the heat will probably come off of this. The Genesis 2 Church of Health and Healing said, "They are attacking a church sacrament. This is something that is sacred or holy to us as a church." On the other hand, FDA Commissioner Stephen Hahn said, "The Genesis 2 Church of Healing has continued to actively place consumers at risk by peddling potentially dangerous and unapproved chlorine dioxide products. We will not stand for this." So they went to a court. They went to a federal judge in Florida, and the federal judge didn't think twice and granted a temporary injunction halting the sale and distribution. But they're probably not going to stop. Because we got a First Amendment right to freedom of religion. It's in the Constitution. Right there with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We're not happy if we're not jamming bleach up our butts. They actually make the overt claim that their poison will, quote, "cure, mitigate, treat, or prevent coronavirus, which includes COVID-19, as well as other diseases, including Alzheimer's, autism, brain cancer, HIV, AIDS, and multiple sclerosis." Care to guess which fig leaf they're going to hide behind? That's right, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. The same piece of bullshit legislation that various and sundry Christian churches use to say, "We ain't gonna bake no gay birthday cakes or gay wedding cakes. It's in the Constitution. We have a sincerely held religious belief." Brother Deacon Asa notes, "Forget about UV light. You can kill the virus by microwaving the citizens, dumbass Donnie." Ah, I have a pronouncer. The little town where Kevin Dougherty said, give me liberty or give me COVID. Eileen in New York was kind enough to let me know that I was mispronouncing it. It's not Olean. It looks like Olean. It's O-L-E-A-N. Kind of seems like a brand of cooking oil or bacon or something, but it's Olean. Olean. Accent on the first syllable. Thank you, Eileen. And all of this is just tip of the iceberg stuff. It seems like there's never enough time to get through all of the crazy. But the direct quote from the shit show, Corona Caligula says, "You can kill the coronavirus by putting a
light inside the body, either through the skin or in some other way." Is there a way you can do something like that by injection or some other way.
I guess he's trying to get the maggots to mainline Lysol now. Or maybe he's a big, I mean, he's Florida man now. Maybe he's a big believer in Miracle Mineral Solution. James in Illinois pointing out that, you know, technically, from the standpoint of word knowing, the definition of cure, if it don't hurt no more, you're cured. 'Cause then you're dead. Let's be honest, says Jeremy in Vermont. Every day in the God-drunken country is prayer meeting Wednesday, isn't it? Just asking for a friend. Well, I try not to let it be, Jeremy, but sometimes it's in the moment and it's in the situation, at which point it's hard to avoid. Lou says, most of Europe is looking across the Atlantic at the U.S. with disbelief at its handling of the pandemic. Our Berlin bureau chief writes, according to the New York Times, rather than American exceptionalism, America has done exceptionally badly, one political scientist said. There's an article in the Atlantic about how this has exposed generations of American failures and may have just exposed the fact that the entire American experiment has been an exercise in hypocrisy with no small amount of stupidity and meanness wrapped in for good measure. I mean, I use bleach. I know how to make a 10% bleach solution. Paul from Parts Unknown taught me how on this program. I'm very careful with it. And I don't add anything to it but water, because there's something about sodium hypochlorite that just wants to let go of the chlorine gas. There it is. Thank you, Lady B. I've been referring to that gang of cut purses, foot pads, highwaymen, and I knew there was a goes straight back to Blazing Saddles. The Trump family, Lady B reminds us. Rustlers, cutthroats, murderers, bounty hunters, desperados, mugs, pugs, thugs, nitwits, halfwits, dimwits, vipers, snipers, conmen, Indian agents, Mexican bandits, muggers, buggerers, bushwhackers, hornswogglers, horse thieves, bull dykes, train robbers, bank robbers, ass kickers, shit kickers, and Methodists. That's them. Although I think they, technically, to the extent any of them had any faith in, at any time in anything but Mammon, Mary and Fred were big fans of Norman Vincent Peale and the power of positive thinking. It's amazing how much better that power of positive thinking works if, you know, you're rich. And that was mainly who Norman Vincent Peale was interested in. UV light, says Lee in New York. I can see how the mango maniac came up with this. UV light is tanning rays. Trump sees himself as tanned. Tan protects you from the disease. See? Sciencey logic. I think there's only one flaw there. I don't think he gets in the bed. Tanning bed. I think that's sprayed on. It looks very much like the carotene color of a spray tan. Robert in Australia, light inside the body. Trump.
We have a submarine. We're going to shrink to a very, very tiny size and inject in people. It's got big, ultra-ly violently lights on the front that will kill the virus.
Says Robert in Australia. Crickets. This is just another day that apparently we got that much closer to that magic moment when he starts screaming, because...
because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
And starts tearing his clothes off and playing with himself. Closer and closer and closer. Well, I was just reading it as a trained broadcaster, Steve. Steve in New York says, I need to offer a correction to Lady B. The appropriate phrase is, hot bar. Yeah. I know. If you go up a winding little dirt road here not too far from where I live that goes up the side of the mountain, that's Fartar Mountain. Because for years and years and years up on top of the mountain, in order to keep an eye out for blazes bursting to life in our woods and hillsides, we had a Fartar. And so the place where the Fartar was is Fartar Mountain. Fartar. F-I-R-E-T-O-W-E-R, pronounced Fartar. I know, you really didn't want to know that, did you? Oh, wait a minute, let's see. Let's see if I can make the magic gizmo work. All right. Oh, come on. Stand by, please. Fun with Bluetooth. But using my cracked Magic 8 Ball with the screen that's locked on Answer Hazy, Ask Again Later, I'm getting vibrations coming through from the ether that tells me that in short order we will hear from... Yes. I'm sorry, my spirit medium is a little hazy. Yes, we're going to hear from Billable Rick.
Hey
Billable
how
Rick.
How are you, Bob?
You know, the spirit
all right.
the spirit realm never lies.
There you go. You got to go with that, right? Get the cape on and the, you know, applique and everything else, right?
Right.
Well, I tell you, where do I start, man? All this... do I start with the dumbass governors, or, you know, do I start with the, you know, Voltairean farce that is the way this current epidemic.
Hey, Bob, don't let Rick ask you where to begin.
Okay, that's a combo for you, Bob.
I can play this game too, goddammit.
Exactly. You can play it better than anybody else, that's for sure. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's been said that when you mix religion and government, that both end up being ruined. I know you're not a big religion person. I'm not either, but I'm just saying, let's say for those who are believers or religionists or whatever you want to call them, you know, you want the government hands off your religion if you're, you know, pure. And
you know what? That
you know,
used to
whatever
that,
your religion is.
That used to be the non-negotiable position of the Southern Baptist Church of all people. They said,
"Really?
The Southern Baptists said, y'all stay out of our religious business and we'll stay out of the government."
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then they figured out there was a hell of a lot of beak wetting to be had by getting involved in government.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to raise the, you know, $25 here, $25 there from the, you know, people attending your church, right? You just get big government money checks, right?
Right.
And the check always clears. Now, another thing that doesn't mix well, which is somewhat actually quite closely analogous to it, is science and politics. You know, just look at these daily shit shows that Trump is having, And, you know, he has Redfield on one of the shit shows to try to, like, say that he didn't tell the Washington Post what he really did say. And, you know, about the corona coming back in the fall. And, you know, he basically repeated what he told the Post, even
if
though
it,
Trump,
if it comes back
know,
in the fall,
to say something else.
If it comes back in the fall, it'll only be an ember and we'll rake it away.
But, I mean, it's just so scary. And then this, you know, what, Dr. Bright, who was handling the Robert Bright, I think, who was handling the development of the vaccine, you know, for the government. Trump, of course, doesn't know him, even though he gets fired like yesterday.
Yeah.
Or demoted to a different, you know, put into a backwater. And it's like instead of having him, you know, try to supervise the development of vaccine, you decide you're going to have a, what, a labradoodle breeder.
Yeah, that was a beautiful thing. Well, you know, Trump said he wanted somebody who knew something about labs.
He just got the wrong lab confused.
Yeah, a labradoodle puppy mill owner.
Yeah.
Is in charge of trying to develop the vaccine.
Well, you know, how different is that than being, you know, putting a guy who was the head of the Arabian Horse Association in charge of FEMA right when Hurricane Katrina had struck, right?
Yeah, that's, yeah, Brownie. This is
Brownie.
This
heck
is
of a job.
This is Brownie 2.0 beta.
I mean, you almost wonder if, you know, if Trump consulted, you know, Shrub, you know, for this particular pick, you know, for this movement, you know, to have this, the Labradoodle guy in and kick the scientist out.
Well,
you know,
Don, I don't know that guy, but Brownie does a heck of a job.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God. I mean, you know, why is
do you
it
have any
that
idea what a challenge?
It?
Do you have any idea what a goddamn challenge it is not to just put the swirly straw in the rock gut tequila bottle every fucking night? I mean, but I don't.
Tell me about it.
I don't.
Yeah. Well, you don't. Yeah. Because you don't want to have Limbaugh radio, right?
Precisely.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, my America's closeted vice president, Mike Pencilneck Geek, went on Limbaugh today.
Okay.
He went on. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he went on Limbaugh to explain how important the Branch Covidian protesters are.
Ah, okay.
I'm not kidding. Let's give this a quick listen until we start screaming, shall we?
Sure.
Back to work.
Look, I don't want to speak for you. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I know you. And it's got to rip your heart out, sir, when the 26...
No, he doesn't want to put words in his mouth. He wants to put something else in his mouth, but never mind.
Million people now, in 2 months, filing for unemployment compensation, and many of these people are getting impatient. They're protesting in certain states because their attitude, hey, my state's not New York. It's not the New York metro area. Why can't I go back to work? And these people protesting are being ripped to shreds by the media. Doing their best to...
they're being financially destroyed by Mitch
McConnell.
What do you
make of the protests? If we're getting closer, what's the demarcation point where you can see that we can make an official shift to reopening from the flattening of the curve policies?
Now, okay, let's be clear what just happened here. The oxymoron, Flush Flimball, who keeps a wife number 3 or 4 or 16 or whatever she is in a pit, it puts the lotion on its skin, my friends, or else it gets the hose again. Brought to you by Hose Liquidators. Remember, friends, Hose Liquidators has all your hose needs for keeping your woman in a pit. No, what he's doing, he's praising these Branch Covidians.
Of course he is.
who are out trying to spread the disease and kill people. He is praising homicidal maniacs. Yeah. And you know, arguably,
it's a leading question. It's a leading question. He's like pointing Pence in the direction he wants him to go, and I'm sure Pence is going to oblige.
Yeah, because remember, one of Pence's previous gigs before he got into Congress and got into the governor's office in Tallahassee, was to be a right-wing hate broadcaster. In the name of Jesus.
Right.
So let's.
Yeah, he knows how the game's played, Bob. He's a pro at that.
I mean, we know what happened with these this little rump bunch of fucking weirdos. You know, they marched around in Michigan, carried swastikas, screamed Jesus is the vaccine. In Arizona, they got up in the faces of nurses and screamed at them and told them that the virus was a hoax. You know, they want to, I want to mow my snow in Michigan. I can't grow no tomatoes in 28 degrees. Freedom is dying.
It's in the Constitution.
It's in the Constitution. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of tomato. So, I mean, that's who we're talking about here, Rick. But when America's closeted vice president, Mike Pencilneck Geek, gets hold of them, suddenly they're a totally different type of folks.
Well, I want to promise you and every one of your listeners who shares that view that there's no one in America that wants to reopen this country more than President Donald Trump. And that was the reason why 1 week ago today, the president directed the White House Coronavirus Task Force to lay out guidelines for opening up America again. And it's all reflective of the president's sense, all of our sense, that America works when America is working. And the American people
low
who are
wages.
Coming out, who are giving voice, who are expressing that sentiment to their governors, we believe have play an important role in moving our nation forward. But the most important thing from our perspective, and the president reflected on this yesterday, is that we think that there is a framework for.
Trump has never reflected on anything in his goddamn miserable best part of him ran down his mama's leg life.
We're safely and responsibly opening up our states, and I just recommend all of your listeners look at the president's guidelines for opening up America again. It's a three-phased approach that says once we have 14 consecutive days of declining cases, and we make sure that the states make sure that their hospital systems have the capacity for whatever may come, then they can begin to ease those social distancing rules to begin to reopen their economies. And then,
see, here's the problem, though, Rick. Georgia doesn't have 14 days of declining numbers. South Carolina doesn't have 14 days of declining numbers. Florida Stan doesn't have 14 days of declining numbers. Texas doesn't. Oklahoma doesn't.
You there, Bob?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Oh, yeah, but it wasn't coming in very well. Well, I was going to say, you're not entirely accurate. Trump has reflected before. Like, he saw the reflection of Stormy when he was looking up on the mirror in the ceiling, you know, when he was in bed.
Oh, and there was pink champagne on ice, right?
He has reflected before. Right, exactly.
Mirrors on the ceiling. We're back to that again.
Yeah.
But
what
just gobsmacked me is that that line, well, they play an important role in moving our nation forward. Well, I guess that's true. If you consider moving people into the fucking grave, moving our nation forward.
Yeah.
I mean, the cemetery's that way.
Yeah. I mean, near as I can tell, Bob, we're talking about a disease that has a mortality rate of maybe 2 or 3%, which is pretty damn high, you know, because what I do is I look at the total COVID deaths. I divide it by the known COVID cases, and that fraction right now is about 5.5%. And then I figure there's a lot more people who have the COVID who didn't die and just like wrote it out and never got tested.
Or the folks that died of it. Or the folks that died of it.
5.5.
Right. Or the folks that have it or had it, died of it.
Yeah.
And we haven't figured it out yet. You know, like on February 6th, the person in Santa Clara County, California, who likely got it around January 6th, and now we're back into what I was talking about last night.
Yeah. So I think I might get an antibody test to answer my question of yesterday. We'll just see. It doesn't hurt to know.
You live in civilization. Can you just toddle down to somewhere and say, "Hey, I'd like an antibody test"?
Yeah, they have the answer. You basically wait in your car. They'll there'll be other cars ahead of you. You'll have to wait maybe an hour or two to get it done, but you can sit in the comfort of your car and just wait for your turn, pull around when it's time.
But is it the antibody test?
Ideally.
Is it the antibody
test?
Yeah,
it's the antibody test. Yeah, that's what I want. I don't want the COVID test. There's no reason to get tested for that. I don't think I, Yeah, there you go. There's places that offer both. You could have either the antibody or the COVID test, or I suppose you could have both, and it's supposedly 90% accurate, the antibody test, for whatever that's worth,
Well, let me share
a positive, negative,
Let me share a little bit of down low information with you, and you might find this valuable.
Okay.
As far as the COVID-19 test is concerned, there's new information out that has not been widely disseminated.
Okay.
And I don't have any reason to doubt the information that I've received.
Okay.
And so, let me see. I'm looking for it. Hold on. Here's the bottom line. There's a lot of sciencey gobbledygook that goes with this.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the way the swabs are designed and manufactured.
All right.
And the viral sensitivity.
Okay.
Well, it really matters how long it's been since you've had onset. Now, this is for the COVID-19 test.
Okay.
If somebody has been sick for more than 8 days,
okay,
a COVID-19 test may very well not be accurate.
Hmm. Okay. Not good.
So, if you wait till you're really sick to get tested, you might get a negative test. So as you're contemplating getting tested for the antibodies,
mm-hmm.
We are not very well advanced along those lines. Because you got to remember, and Cuomo laid this out the other day. Flavio was talking about this on one of my Facebook threads.
Mm-hmm.
There are two kinds of antibodies. One antibody yields a result that says you've got it and your body's fighting it.
Okay.
Then there's a second antibody that says you had it and you're over it.
Right.
If you feel okay and you're getting an antibody test that is anything but the you had it and you're over it test,
mm-hmm.
It's largely meaningless.
Right. Right.
So you need to research and find out what test is being given.
So I want to get the one that tells me that I once had COVID, but I'm over it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But here's the next thing, and this is the problem. We are in a pandemic of a disease about which we know little or nothing. Well, we know something.
Yeah.
We know something more than nothing, but there's still a lot of unknown unknowns to get
right.
To
and
get
known knowns and the known unknown and unknown knowns.
Right,
and,
but it's kind of Rumsfeldian, but it's actually a term that makes sense. We don't know what we don't know.
Right,
and
right.
That's
exactly.
And that's where you get your ass busted. So
right.
we're seeing data that shows that people can test negative for it and then get it.
Okay,
or you can have antibodies that say you had it. And then you turn around and test positive again.
Hmm. Damn thing. Damnedest thing.
Well, part of it.
Bob,
part,
let me ask you.
Okay,
you
go ahead. Yeah, I'm not a doctor, and I don't play one on the radio. I'm just reading information.
I know. Finish your thought. Finish your thought, and then I'll go ahead and ask you a question.
Well, our attempt at this has been so desperate and so haphazard that we really don't have a handle on testing at all. We cannot do, you know, every time somebody challenges Corona Caligula on on testing, he says,
we've tested more than anybody else in the whole wide fucking world.
And it doesn't.
But maybe we did, but is it effective? Is the
that
question.
Raw cumulative number is almost meaningless. Because, you know, the first batch of tests that came out from the CDC were faulty. And it doesn't matter. Your aggregate total of tests administered, it doesn't matter nearly as much as the per capita ratio.
Right, exactly, yes.
And we're under 2% of the public, and you can't posit a statistically valid notion of when it's safe to go back outside with testing levels that are that low.
No. I would think you'd have to at least be able to test 10% of the population to get any decent idea as to what areas it might be safe to lift some restrictions and what restrictions to lift, that kind of thing, you know?
And we're about 25 million tests short of that number.
Right. And another thing, too, is that our tests were developed in a very haphazard way by, like, private companies competing against each other. Instead of using the test that WHO offered, World Health Organization offered us, way at the beginning, or instead of partnering with, let's say, the South Koreans, who seem to have, you know, gotten a much better handle on their COVID problem. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, that was
we're
because
America.
That was because Trump couldn't figure out a way to get his grift on with it.
Exactly. Yeah. And then he basically, you know, he's promoting this, you know, hydrochloroquine or whatever the hell it is. Which
yeah,
is
and,
a,
right. And now he's all, know. What the hell's that?
I never heard of hydrochloroquine. Yeah. Who?
I've never met anybody by that name. I don't know who that is. it's ridiculous. But that, you know, my ex-wife.
Hydro Cohen Queen? That. I don't know anybody named Cohen.
She was prescribed that in a very small dose by her dermatologist because she's got like this weird lupus kind of condition on her scalp and, you know, which was causing her to lose hair. So she was prescribed that, the hydrochloroquine or whatever the hell it is. anyway, the hydro stuff. And it like leaves like dark marks. It makes you very susceptible to like bruising, you know, bleeding. It leaves dark marks on your wrists and on your hands and back of your hands. And I mean, it's serious shit. And you can lose your peripheral vision if you're not careful. So you got to go to an eye doctor like at least twice a year, that kind of thing. And
you can die.
You know, you got to take it under a doctor's care, you know.
Well, see, I mean, Agnes, we went down this road with Agnes, too. And because of eye problems that she's had in the past, they were going to put her on it, but then it was no.
Yeah. It could blind her, I suppose, right? Yeah. You know? And, by the way, a belated happy birthday to the warrior princess.
Well, thank you. I will tell her.
Hopefully she had a great day yesterday.
Well, I mean, it was it's kind of hard to have a great day, but it was a day, and she really appreciated all the kind words.
Do you guys get to go outside and like go for hikes and stuff? I mean, you kind of have to watch where you go, I imagine.
But the problem there is the lack of cooperation of the weather. April here in West Virginia has been February 2.0.
Okay, I got it. Wow. Well, we're kind of suffering
The weather forecast for me, just to give you an idea, because this time of year we would ordinarily, you know, be out and about and hiking the trails and whatnot. But just to give you an idea, forecast for tonight: rain and a low of 46. Tomorrow, rain, high of 58. Saturday, rain, high of 62. Sunday, rain, high of 55. Monday, rain, high of 55. We might see the sun on Tuesday and get a high of 56.
Jeez.
Wednesday's thunderstorms. Okay. Thursday's more rain. Friday's more rain. A week from Saturday is more rain.
Oh, my God. Wow. Wow.
So, let's see.
We're suffering here.
23rd.
I've got 86 degrees here in Orange County right now. High of 91. Totally sunny. And it's going to get to 98 tomorrow, 92 on Saturday, 88 on Sunday, 84 on Monday. Oh, we have slight clouds on Sunday, unfortunately. Otherwise, we got clear skies all the way through next Wednesday when we get some clouds again. And Thursday, sunny, partly sunny. So, yeah, we got it tough here, Bob, you know?
Yeah, I can hear the suffering in your voice.
Yeah. That is a lot of rain, though, man. Now, when it says rain, that doesn't mean just light sprinkles. That means, like, the real deal,
Well, no,
right?
It means it'll be cloudy all damn day, and then every so often the heavens will open. Anywhere from drenching deluge to what used to be referred to as a Scots mist. You know, that's a steady downpour that soaks you all the way to the bones of your toenails.
That's Scots mist.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
It's a golf term. It's a Scots mist, and it is a persistent and soaking rain.
Okay. Wow. I should know that term. I do now.
As opposed to a Canadian mist.
Yeah.
Which is about 80 proof and not very good.
Yeah. There you go. Well, you know, when I think of a mist, I think of like walking through like a kind of like a northwestern rainforest, like on Vancouver Island or something, when you're going from like the parking area like 2 miles into the campground on the coast, you know.
Yeah.
And kind of the mist you get from just being in the rainforest, it kind of creates its own like microclimate, and it's just kind of things
well,
are all
and that's
wet,
and that's the that's
you know,
the other
that thing. Sort of
thing. Appalachia is the world's largest temperate rainforest. Not tropical, but temperate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I mean, we get rain here on a level similar to, you know, Oregon and Washington. Rains a lot.
Wow. So does that cause people to become more depressed than they normally would be if you're photosensitive, that type of thing, if you live in Appalachia, Bob?
This is one of the grimmest corners of the country. Are you kidding me? There's a reason hillbillies are, as the word goes, taciturn.
There you go. Right. Well, you live in, what, District 9 or whatever, I guess? I think.
District 12.
Is that the right number?
Yeah.
I forget.
District 12.
District 12, okay. Yeah, I always forget about that. Wow, well, I guess easier said than done, hiking. So,
We got hundreds of miles of trails around here. And I will go out in the shitty stuff and just walk around a bit just to clear my head, you know, nobody around.
Yeah.
And that helps. I desperately need sunshine because I want to... I need 2 days of sunshine just so I can sort of get my barbecue on before there's no more pig to barbecue.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that's crazy, you know. I saw that they closed the big packing plant in Waterloo, Iowa, which is just mostly north of my
South Dakota,
hometown,
Iowa, Indiana. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, the heartland. All those suppliers, all those big... stockyards, you know. I mean, it used to be Chicago back in the day, but I think that's kind of, they have a big stockyard in Chicago and the Board of Trade and, you know, the hog futures and the pork bellies and all that stuff, you know. But I doubt there's as much production there as there used to be. You know, it's been kind of farmed out to some other states there surrounding, you know, Illinois and Chicago. But yeah, well, that's great about your Kaneka. You should definitely fill your freezer with it, Bob. You know, so you have enough for the, you know, for the next couple of months if you need it.
Well, if only I had a freezer.
Oh shit! Okay, that's a damn.
Yeah, the
hey, everybody.
The absence of freezer really takes a hell of a lot out of filling one's freezer.
Okay. Okay, I'll tell you what.
I got a little bitty apartment-sized one that'll hold like a pint of Haagen-Dazs and a package of popsicles.
Oh, that's not enough. Hey, guys, since somebody has done a show for the week, have a week on me, I'm gonna kick in. I'm gonna start a challenge here. I want everybody who's listening here, if they can, to kick in 25 or whatever they can do without any, like, you know, harm to themselves for Bob's refrigerator fund, because that's ridiculous. He needs to have a freezer. Come on, guys. So I'm going to throw 25 in for that, Bob.
Well, thank you, Rick. That's mighty kind. That was not
absolutely
that was not the purpose of that. I mean, it's just part of the reality here.
No, you've described what happened after your direct show. I mean, you still haven't made it back where you were, you know? And
no, we haven't.
I mean, this is like this is how many years later? 8 years later?
Yeah, and you know, this and that's part of why this sucks so much is my heart was set on the Horn Inn. And
oh, I know.
And doing the Kickstarter campaign and replacing appliances and making massive repairs to the house and putting on solar panels and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then sucks. And then I mean, and then Donnie has to happening. Fuck up the response to the mm-hmm. virus, and here we are.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like anything, Bob, he figures that the way to solve a problem is not to confront it head on and to look for real solutions, but to basically pay people bribes and try to cover it up, you know, and get the people in place who can hide the stuff. But this became way too big for him to ever handle, you know, and it's far too widespread. And you know, people can deny COVID all they want. All you have to look at are those, you know, freezer full of, you know, body bags stacked one on top of the other like cordwood. I mean, how could any rational person, you know, say that that's fake unless you're mentally ill, let's just say, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think maggotism is a mental illness.
It's a form of mental illness.
It's a shared psychotic disorder.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I wish I could find it because I just saw it scrolling along through Facebook. But those interviews that Jordan Klepper of The Daily Show did with the maggots outside the rallies back when he was still having rallies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Holy
right.
hell. I mean, the cognitive dissonance is like a fog in London in 1840.
No kidding.
I mean,
no kidding.
They can't see that because he, you know, it's funny because they're funny, but the questions he asks mm-hmm. aren't funny.
No,
he just
no.
He. I almost think he must have been to law school or something, because he asks lawyery questions, and they just sit there and mm-hmm. go, uh huh, uh huh, uh huh, oh. Shit.
Well, he leads them down the primrose path, and then they're, you know, then they're stuck. And then
there was say, one passage where the guy was like, "Read the transcript." And he's like, "Well, have you read the transcript?" Well, no. But I've heard from people who've read the transcript. Why haven't you read the transcript? Well, I ain't got time. And you've been standing in line. You've been standing in line here since 8 a.m. So 4 hours. Oh.
Well, he's making America great again, so that's worth it for me as far as time.
Making America white again.
Damn. Speaking of cognitive dissonance, I see this picture of a car at one of those protests with stuff written on the back window. But first, it has a frame, a license plate frame that says "Keep kids safe," and then they have like in magenta, like you know, I don't know, magenta chalk or whatever on written on the back window, "Your health is not more important than my liberties!" Exclamation mark! Exclamation mark!
Sit, Liberty.
It's like,
sit.
Okay, you're keeping your kids safe. Yeah, yeah. You keep your kids safe, but not other people's kids. Basically, I got mine. F you. I don't care what you say. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to, you know, tromp around and galump around and you know, breathe on people and, you know, tread on people. And if they get it, that's God's will, you know? I mean, it's ridiculous, Bob. You know, we're, you know, the thing is, you know, and then I read things on Facebook about how people are afraid that, you think, you know, as far as the quarantine, they sort of are, you know, kind of a mixed view of it, you know? And they're concerned that because, you know, their liberties are going to be taken away from them if this quarantine persists much longer. But people have to be reminded that this is not the first time this has happened. Back in the, you know, during the Spanish flu epidemic, there were all sorts of stay-at-home orders imposed and orders that you had to wear a mask if you went out. You could only go out for certain things. You know, only essential workers could report to work. I mean, this stuff isn't new, Bob, I don't think, these restrictions. Well, we've been down this road before.
It's interesting you would bring that up because I've spent a lot of time thinking, and you know, because of the massive amount of work that my grandmother did on our family tree, I know more than maybe a lot of people know about their ancients.
Right.
So,
you do.
The fact of the matter is, as I said before, my grandmother was impacted by the 1919 pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
The boy she was going to marry
died,
and she married the man who became my grandfather instead.
Mm-hmm.
In 1843, my six generations back grandmother and grandfather died of some mysterious illness that I haven't, but they died within a week of each other.
Oh, wow.
He tried to take care of her. He tried to take care of her. She died. He got it. A week later, he was dead. And their eldest son was 25 years old at the time. And I think, based on what his life was, I think it fucked him up forever.
Wow. Yeah, of course. That's young to lose both parents simultaneously.
The place where I was born and raised in Alabama, you know, I didn't have family from there. But I know I know the history of it. Until the dams were built across the Tennessee River, and particularly in that area of Alabama, year in and year out, the place burned with yellow fever. And this country burned with malaria and yellow fever below what was called the something line. I forget what. But it's basically the Pennsylvania
Mason-Dixon.
Well, it became the Mason-Dixon line, the Pennsylvania-Maryland line. Below that, white folks, when they got here, if they lived for 2 years, they were said to be seasoned. And a shit ton of people didn't.
Yeah, they weren't seasoned.
I mean, plague and deliberate indifference are the story of Appalachia, Rick. I mean,
I believe it.
The coal industry gets going in the late 1800s, and between 1900 and 2000, or 1900 and 2010, whatever number you want to use, over 100,000 people, 100,000 mostly men, were killed in the mines.
Wow.
In 1946, my father missed being crushed alive by a falling hunk of slate in the mines by inches.
So that many people actually were physically killed in the mines, as opposed to the collateral damage of, let's say, black lung disease.
No, that's black lung and mine disasters. I mean,
the 100,000 includes everything. Deaths.
Yeah,
due to
if we ever have the horn in, maybe we'll take an afternoon, and we'll just drive down some roads, and I'll show you various historical markers where 50 people died, 20 people died, 500 people died.
Wow.
I mean, America could learn a little bit from what happened here.
Absolutely.
And what happened here is a lot of the reason that people left here and fanned out into the rest of the country.
Yeah, right. And, you know, expecting people to, like, stay at home and obey the authorities, I mean, how the fuck hard is it to just sit and wait?
People
need to learn to fucking wait, Bob. They did over 100 years ago. We've done it before. We can do it now.
Less than 100 years ago. Rick, less than 100 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean,
probably during the polio epidemics as well.
Well, not just that. I keep referencing the Second World War. People really mm-hmm. went hungry. Mm-hmm. People had to go without medicine. People had to darken their windows by night. And mm-hmm. these goddamn yeah. fools would be flinging the curtains wide and hollering, "It's in the Constitution."
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I mean, what pansies? I mean, they're fucking wimps. What have we become?
I prefer piss ants. Because it doesn't, okay. it doesn't, yeah. it doesn't carry the sexuality overtones that Pansy does.
Okay. Okay.
But
okay.
yeah, what a bunch of just spineless piss ants.
There you go. Yeah. No kidding.
And most of these, they are not nearly as big as the for-profit media have led on. I talk about them because a plural, even a tiny minority can fuck things up. You know, one bad apple does spoil the whole barrel if you leave the bad apple in there long enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh yeah. I've had that before. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Without fail, these AstroTurf protests that are being funded mm-hmm. by people, you know, who don't like them, they would never be, mm-hmm. they wouldn't be in the same area code with them, even if forced.
Right.
So unfailingly, you see the same gang of idiots, just different faces, different last names. They are gun humpers. Evangelical Christians, anti-vaxxers,
mm-hmm.
sovereign citizens, you know, every mm-hmm. last hard case and dead-ender group in this country is going to those goddamn protests because they are, no matter how much the Republicans like it or don't, they mm-hmm. are the shock troops, the hardcore of the Republican fucking party in 2021. Period. And most of them are irredeemable.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I saw some people like that at the beach the other day when Star and I went to try to do a bike ride. We ended up getting lost because we couldn't find our way back to the beach because the roads were laid out really weird, you know, in where the heck was it? Was it Laguna Beach? No, it wasn't Laguna. It was San Clemente, actually.
So they're open again?
Stomping grounds. The beach was closed, the parking was closed, but you could ride your bike on the street, you know. They didn't have the streets entirely closed, just for through traffic, that kind of thing, you know. And, there's not really much of a beachfront. You couldn't, like, walk down to the beach and hang out there. But, there was somebody there who was, saying no vaccines on one side of the sign and something about Bill Gates on the other side. Conspiracy theory that Bill Gates somehow engineered COVID-19 so he can make everybody get vaccinated and put like a computer chip, microchip in the vaccine and like track you and identify you wherever you go.
Right. And then he'll kill us all with a system update.
Okay, that's a cowbell, Bob.
Thank you.
Well played. Very well played. Oh, geez. I tell you, what a crazy world we're in, Bob. I tell you, you know. But, you know, your show provides such a respite from the madness. And, you know, I mean, you do have to kind of highlight the freakazoids to just understand what's going on underneath the surface, you know? You have to kind of know who your adversary is,
beyond that, Rick, we do this mm-hmm. we do this because if no one else has it, there will be mm-hmm. an archive for the 6-foot-tall race of sentient cockroaches 10 million years from now who will worship up us as gods and
right.
and they'll be able to consult it and they'll say, oh, that's how we got our break. They got too
right.
stupid.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, at least the Horn Family Community Congregation, as shit falls apart more and more, our community yeah. is not going to sit around going, How could this possibly happen to a wonderful country, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, in the universe forever under God, like America? How could this ever have happened? Well, by God, every night on this program, I lay out in rich, horrifying detail how this could happen.
Yeah, exactly. You got it. Yeah. Yeah, you do. You do. And at least we know we're sane. So we know the other folks are the ones that are insane. And we're like you're like the guardian of sanity, you know, for a lot of, for a lot of people. So I really appreciate your effort. I just kicked in $25 to Bob's Refrigerator Fund. Okay, you all need to, let's
and
get
others have as well. I
got a
thanks to Dave.
Okay.
And thanks to Rusty. And thanks to Ralphs. And thanks to Jude. And thanks to Jeremy, who jumped in again. Thank you very kindly, and all. Thank you for getting it started, Billable.
Yeah. Well, that's about $150 if everybody threw in 25 there, Bob, for what you said, about six people. So let's do it, folks. Bob needs a freezer. He needs to eat his Kaneka here this summer.
Need to, yeah. So before, before the pork goes away.
No kidding. All right, Bob. Well, I thought I'd just call in and I don't do this very often. I figured I'd just sort of take some time out and, hang out with you and talk for a while. So, anyway, thanks for all you do, and I'll make way for someone else who may want to, contribute to the program as well.
Okay, well, before you go, I got a note for you from Todd in South Carolina, Stan.
Okay.
He says, hi, Rick. And by the way,
hey, Todd.
And the term I was looking for the magic whoosis that they test for in the antibody testing are immunoglobulins.
Oh, okay.
As Flavio notes, one says you have it now and are fighting it. The other immunoglobulin says you had it and are over it and it's resolved. We want the latter. And you can go to the April 7th Andrew Cuomo briefing and he explains it all. And Flavio says, happy belated birthday, Agnes. Thank you, Flavio. So anyway, Todd says, we have a very incomplete data set of how many infections, how many deaths, and how many transmissions. In addition, we don't know the long-term effects. The best case scenario would be to quarantine and use human subjects who are suspected of being infected and continue to use competing tests on them and people who they've been around before the experiment. At this point, everything is botched, from the reliability of the tests to the number of tests. All this does is continue to make the data unreliable. And that reminds me of a saying that I learned way, way, way back when I was going to be a little baby archaeologist. There was one of the guys on the dig, and he would just mutter it under his breath day in and day out, because there was this museum there, and it was full of boxes of magnificent artifacts that had only, and they had just put them there because they had nowhere to put them in the state of Tennessee, and they had just sort of accreted there, and they, and only the sketchiest information of what they were, where they came from, and he would just mutter and occasionally yell as he looked around at all the boxes, and they let me look through, and it was like, holy shit, I can't believe what I'm looking at. And he would yell, no provenance, no goddamn data.
That's exactly what it is, exactly. Or computer programmers say garbage in, garbage out,
Yeah,
same
exactly.
Idea. Yeah, yeah. Well, Flavio's, isn't he like a, doesn't he, he has a science background, as I recall, doesn't he?
Flavio is such a polymath, I don't know exactly where his sheepskin, what magic words are written on his sheepskin. I have yet to find what Flavio doesn't know.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean,
very
Jesus Christ.
One of these days,
I'm going to try to pronounce something in Linear B, and I'm going to get an email going, no, Bob, you blew it again. Yeah. Linear B that got wiped out in 1300 BCE, and we can't even translate it. Flavio knows how to pronounce it. I guarantee it.
Wow. Well,
that's not me being mean. That's me being respectful.
Linear B is a form of Latin or what?
No, Linear B was the, there's Linear A and Linear B, and they were the languages that were both written and spoken on the island of Crete. By the Minoan civilization.
And we're going before the Greeks and before the Romans. Whoa,
yeah,
okay.
This is before the Mycenaeans.
They wrote it
and they spoke it. And because there's no Rosetta Stone for it, we have no idea what any of it means.
Oh, geez.
and
provenance, no data.
No provenance, no goddamn data.
Yeah.
And it's weird because they wrote it on like little, the folks in Ur and Sumer wrote on flat clay tablets. The Minoans, and we don't even know that, we don't know what they called themselves. We call them the Minoans because of Minos and the Minotaur and the mythology that we get of Theseus coming down to us from the Greeks. It's got to be some sort of embedded memory.
Okay.
If I recall correctly, they wrote on these tennis ball sized balls of clay.
Oh, wow.
It looks like a larger version of an IBM Selectric typehead, if you remember an IBM Selectric typewriter.
The one
that had the ball?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The self-correction stuff? Yeah. I remember that, yeah. Okay, they were about that size, maybe a little bigger, okay. Yeah.
And that entire civilization went to fuck when an island called Thera blew up. Long about 1400 BCE, and and Thera was a whole island, and now it's just sort of a ring with a lagoon in it that's the crater of the volcano, and we know it today as Santorini.
Ah, Santorini, sure, okay. It was known as Thera, T-H-E-R-A back then, or at least we called it that.
Right.
Interesting. Yeah, my ancient history is coming back to me. I took a full year of that in college when I went to Northwestern. It was a really, really interesting area. Just fascinating. History is so fascinating. So many areas to study and so little time to do it in, Bob.
There's something particularly fascinating about that era. That is the that's the end of the late Bronze Age. There's all kinds of upheaval throughout the Mediterranean world, the Peloponnese, Egypt, the Levant, all the way into Mesopotamia. It seems as if at that point in time, the entire late Bronze Age falls to pieces, and a big part of it may have been the explosion of that volcano, but another part of it may have been the exhaustion of tin reserves, because you have to have tin in order to make bronze. Bronze is an alloy of tin and copper. And what comes after that is the Iron Age. And what's kind of fascinating out of all of it is that as comparing the two metals. Bronze
is much more robust, much stronger.
Well, among other things, it doesn't rust. It doesn't hold an edge as well, but it doesn't rust. Mm-hmm. That's why so many in the ground grave markers are bronze. That's why the plaques that they bolt on public buildings are bronze.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It might tarnish, but it ain't gonna rust.
Right.
And so you could have a collapse in the tin economy. You've got that massive volcanic eruption, and then you've got and the only record keepers for it we have are the Egyptians, who make these vague references to what a plague were these people that they refer to only as the Sea People, S-E-A.
S-E-A. Wow.
And the Egyptians spent decades fighting to hold onto their civilization and fighting off the Sea People.
Hmm. So when you say BCE, that means before the Common Era. That means
correct.
We know that as BC for short. Okay.
Yeah, that's how you say BC without making the rest of the world go, really? We still got to refer to Jesus? So before,
right, before Christ. No, before the Common Era, BCE. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's scientific parlance, it's BCE and CE, Common Era.
Okay.
Because it's the era that we all share in common. Now, you got to go, I'm sure, but I got to throw one more thing in here because we were talking about what lunatics the religious right are in this country. A simple question: how bad is it when the mouth breathing, knuckle walking freaks, the Wahhabis of Saudi Arabia, are saner than you are?
Yeah, they seem moderate compared to some of these cats, I think.
Well, now they do. I mean, you know, the Roman Catholic Church got it right. You know, nobody's in the pews. They understood, you know, when Jesus said, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there is my church, like Mike was talking about the other night. And
Pope Frank is a microbiologist, right? Yeah, Isn't that his background or something like that? Yeah. So, yeah, Roman Catholic Church.
So they get it right.
I think through the years they've been one of the preservers of science in the Western world.
Meanwhile,
you know, against all the barbarian attacks, you know, so to speak.
Well, yeah, kind of after they got over that whole Inquisition thing. Meanwhile,
and Galileo and all that.
This asshole in Baton Rouge, Pastor Tony Spellcaster.
Oh, jeez.
That fucker's been arrested again.
Okay.
Because he tried to. Because people are beginning to protest outside of his gospel sharp shop.
Oh, good for them.
And he tried to back his church bus over a protester and has since been charged with assault with a deadly weapon.
Oh, my God. Wow.
I'd
say he may not get any bail there. He shouldn't. He's a public menace.
Oh, I'm sure he's already out. So that's all the setup to this. I don't understand how Muslims calculate Ramadan. Because sometimes it happens on the 4th of July, and sometimes it happens on Mother's Day, and sometimes it happens on Halloween. It has something to do with the phase of...
Is it that much?
Yeah.
Phase of the moon?
Yeah, it's some sort of phase of the
moon. Is it that variable? I thought it was almost always in the spring, like March or April or May.
I thought it used to be in the fall.
Anyway,
they look at the moon... play three games of Parcheesi, consult the magic eight ball, and then they declare when Ramadan begins.
Okay, that's as good a way of determining that as any.
And so they
the
Wahhabi Saudis have declared that Ramadan begins tomorrow. And Ramadan's a big deal because you have to go hungry for God all day long.
Right.
And
fasting all day long.
And of course there's headgear involved. But then when the sun goes down and you finally get to eat, it's a big feast and it's a real big deal.
Right.
So the announcement from the royal, majestic, noble, serene, high, gracious, puissant house of Ibn Saud said, based on the sighting of the new month's moon, it has been declared that Friday is the start of the month of Ramadan. Okay, good. Happy Ramadan to all my Muslim friends. You know, I don't hate. I am an equal opportunity despiser of religion. But you want it,
right?
It's good for you. Enjoy. Live and be well. If I ever join a religion,
whatever
my tongue should fall.
Whatever gets you through the night.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, whatever gets you through the night. Whatever floats your boat.
So we're not. So MBS's daddy, King Salman. Said he's bummed out. And whenever I see a quote from him, I always think of back when Obi-Wan Kenobi played Prince Faisal in Lawrence of Arabia. So I hear that soft, lovely voice of Alec Guinness. And so there's a quote from King Salman, and he says,
I am pained that the holy month arrives amid circumstances that make us unable to perform group prayers and Taraweeh, special Ramadan night prayers, at mosques due to precautionary measures to protect the people's lives and health in combating the coronavirus pandemic. So in other words, the country whose people flew fucking planes into our buildings in New York because they were religious maniacs.
Right.
Have enough common goddamn sense not to go running to the mosque and LARPing and smolicking and rubbing all of each other and a tousling of each other's hair and wishing each other happy fucking Ramadan.
Right.
And they're not losing their shit in the streets like the Christians are.
Yeah, like the liberators of Michigan and all those other areas that are held by the, I guess it would be the Nazi states of America, and then out west, they're held by the Japanese states of America, right? Yeah.
Well, and the Deep South the Deep South will be Jesus land. But also, in this news story, Rick, is a little reminder, once again, of what a bunch of spineless pissants the maggots are. Because the International Committee of the Red Cross in Yemen, poor Yemen, issued a statement as well.
Okay.
The International Committee of the Red Cross said, people across Yemen will mark Islam's holy month this year amid ongoing conflict, seasonal diseases, floods, and rising prices in a country where the economic situation doesn't allow two-thirds of the population to access or afford enough food. Sit down and shut the fuck up, you ignorant, malevolent, goddamn maggots.
Yeah, right. Jeez. Yeah, amazing. Yeah, the contrast. It's like, I mean, they are the disease vector, these maggots, you know, that are protesting to reopen their economies without any kind of testing in place and anything, you know? I mean, I've even thought, Bob, of going into, personal injury law for the limited purpose of suing employers who don't adequately protect their workers and cause the workers to develop the Rona, you know?
You know what? I would polish up my ambulance chasing skills for that, Rick. I really, really would. I'm speaking facetiously, ambulance chasing wise.
No, I know.
There are going to be so many reasons to sue so many fucking people. Like, for instance, Kroger's, Ralph's. They're a unionized, Kroger's and Ralph's are a unionized workforce, UFCW.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so they gave a $2 an hour bump for hazard pay to their workers. And then they turned around and announced, now y'all know that this is not a permanent raise. We're taking that $2 away from you quick as this is over.
Oh, geez.
Fine. We're walking. We're out. We're gone. Strike.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
There needs to be a blossoming of labor rights in this country when this thing begins to pass. We can't. Part of the reason we're in the economic crisis that we are is because Republican economic policies brought us to this place.
No doubt. They really have. They really have. And I mean, other countries that haven't been as dominated by the right wing are doing much better, I think, you know, in terms of the, you know, they value science over profits, you know, that kind of thing. But I mean, this is like, you know, this is like Reaganomics gone like into madness, you know, as far as, oh, let's start the economy up again. You know, what could go wrong? Let's open up our tattoo parlors and our bowling alleys and, you know, like the governor of Georgia, you know, Kemp. I mean, what a fucking moron. And that Las Vegas mayor, she's a nutball. She apparently is married to a former
mob lawyer,
attorney for the mob. Yeah, a former mob lawyer. Right, exactly. Oh, I tell you, Bob, I don't know where to begin or where to end. So,
well,
I'll make way in case somebody's trying to get in.
we're pretty much done, but it's been a great conversation. Thanks for starting the little challenge. We made some progress along the way. Thank you
That's
very
good.
thank you very kindly to an anonymous friend who jumped in on it. Thank you very kindly to Lady B. Thank you to Brendan. We're about halfway to being able to buy a damn freezer. That's amazing.
That is awesome. That, well, you know, add today to tomorrow. Yeah, normally it's Fundraising Free Friday, but let's just do a freezer campaign here for Bob. I mean, it's about time, man. You get a
well. What we can what, you know, what, you get a freezer, what we can do know? Is we can start on finishing off April tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. and you know if it works out, I'll run over to the local big box and get some sort of a $500 or $600 refrigerator and with a decent sized freezer on it, and we'll be set. Because, you know, basically what we use here is a little apartment-sized refrigerator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that doesn't
or,
hold anything.
Or, you know, dormitory refrigerator. You know,
yeah, I mean, you usually have at least three people in the house, right?
At least.
Viking Warrior Princess and Ferg, and if not your kids and grandkids, I imagine, you know? So,
well,
yeah.
You know, and I try to cook for them and stuff, and it's a big part of not having to go out so damn much. Because
right.
I
is.
Have a little more room to keep some perishables.
You need that. And
my perishables are in an ice chest right now, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you cook way more than you can eat for a given meal. Like if there's only three of you, you know, you cook enough for like eight or nine, and you got leftovers for a couple of days. Well, what do you do without a refrigerator, you know, or enough room in the fridge, you know?
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
It totally sucks. Yeah. All right, Bob.
Well, that was a lovely idea. Thank you.
Anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you, Bill.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, it just kind of occurred to me. It's like, geez, you know, you've had somebody who's been nice enough to sponsor the show for a whole week, and why not like start a little refrigerator fund here for Bob? I mean, you know, $25 isn't going to hurt people who are still working like me. You know, so what the heck, you know?
Well, thank you. I can't thank you enough. Rick, you have yourself a wonderful. Well, it's still afternoon, and we managed not.
It
to,
is. It's still,
we managed not to. Yeah, we managed not up. To. We managed not to ruin dinner in the Pacific Daylight Time Zone. So I've done my good deed for the day. My work here is done.
I don't think you ruined dinner in any zone, even the Atlantic Zone, Bob.
Oh no, I took a run at it in the first hour. Pretty sure I did.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. I was listening to you. It didn't sound too bad, but whatever. All right, Bob. Well, anyway, you take good care and say hi to Agnes, okay?
I sure will. You have a wonderful afternoon. Take care. Later, Rick.
Thanks. Will do.
The one and only Billable Rick calling from the greater Los Angeles area. Thanks, y'all. That was a wonderful surprise of an idea Billable had, and I appreciate everybody who jumped in on it. Thank you so very much. And thanks to all of you who keep the program going. It's how we keep the program going so that I'm not out there, you know, doing the Limbaugh hustle or anything. Thank you so much. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years plus at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And on the way out, a note from our dear sister Jude out in the great Northwest. Jude writes, I rest my case. When we shared time on last Titanic Tuesday, it was important to affirm the dedicated road you traveled on, one that houses a vault of history. Your time with Rick stands firmly on this ground. Thank you, Jude. Thank you. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Wash your hands. Stay safe. Stay home. There are maggots on the road, and their brains are burning like a toad. Take a long holiday. Let your children play. Later.